Blog Talk Radio.
What you doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like the rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangsta Mac, but sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat, look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy, I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom, I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girls' pants, and I even got my own dance. People say yo, Humpty, you're really funny looking. That's alright, cause I get things cooking. You stare, you glare, you constantly try to compare me, but you can't get near me. I'm giving more C, and on the floor B, all the girls, they adore me. Oh yes, ladies, I'm really being sincere, cause in the 69 my Humpty nose will tickle your rear. My nose is big, I'm not ashamed. Big like a pickle, I'm still getting paid. I get laid by the ladies, you know I'm in charge. Both how I'm living and my nose is large. I get stupid, I shoot an arrow like Cupid. I use a word that don't mean nothing, like lucid. I sang on Do What You Like, and if you missed it, I'm the one who said just grab them in the biscuit. Also told you that I like to bite. Well yeah, I guess it's obvious I also like to write. All you had to do was give Humpty a chance, and now I'm gonna do my dance.
The Humpty dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on.
Then I guess that makes me teaser.
So turn this water to whiskey.
Watch the dirty South go from dirty to filthy. High class only means stoned in school joints. Rolled up bigger than pony stools. Smoke stains on the roof of the old Regal's brown. So what? I got spokes on this bitch and the lift kits like climbing into a spaceship. UFOs, unidentified flying Oldsmobiles and mobile homes. Amen. I could still smell the kerosene leaking. I should have seen the signs I was blowing up. Either in a trailer home or a pickup. Hey, Bubba, your baby boy.
Legacy.
People wake up this same man in the morning.
Yeah.
super cool perusement, and because probably you just have nothing better else to do, we bring you the show that they call Full Jugular. Now, popular. What is popular? Is truth popular? No, truth is not popular. So we're going to roll right into the monologue tonight. You see, we live in a world today where the truth isn't popular, but the truth is still the truth. And, you know, the truth isn't always a beautiful thing. It just is a thing. And so for our monologue tonight, I want to talk a little bit about truth and just about, I want to give everyone that listens tonight, and maybe people that see this through somebody else or anyone who's listening understands that everyone gets old. Old age is inevitable. And see, what people don't understand is that the people that are already at, or at least at middle age, you see so much change in a lifetime. I'm a man who left Arizona only 20 years ago to come back and see so much difference and so much gone and so many people gone and so many things gone that it just reminds you that everything in life is fleeting. So you have to hold on to the good things in life, and you have to hold on to what you know in life is good. See, a lot of people, they look to the radio for entertainment, and I think a lot of people look to Full Jugular for truth. I think there's a certain segment of people out there that believe in truth, and they just want to hear it like it is. They don't want to hear it like it's not. We take a little bit of different approach here at Full Jugular because we love people, and we're living in a real world, and we're living real lives. Guys like me and Willie, we don't have any choice because life's already dealt us so much stuff in our life that's real that we have to live a real life. Life hasn't given us any choice but to live basically a real life. So Willie and I both have to struggle through every day just living this real life. And right now, living in a house where I'm taking care of family members from the Hess dynasty as the caretaker at their big Hess place here, it shows me that life is fleeting. I have older people here that I'm taking care of that are not always the nicest. In fact, they're quite cranky. They like to scream and yell. And they talk about their imminent death every day. And they talk about how, you know, it's funny, you can't cook them a meal that is correct. You cannot do a job on the property that is correct. Although they appreciate you, they can't help the way they are because they're older. And they're set the way they are. And they are going out the way they want to go out. And if they want to go out screaming and yelling, that's the way they're going to go out. So certain people were stuck in where we're at, but you can accept your post with dignity or you can't. And that's a decision a lot of people have to make is, am I going to accept? So a lot of people say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to dump my family in a home. Wrong answer. That's not the answer. Yeah, it's very hard. It can be stressful, and sometimes you want to go and bang your head against the wall several times. Don't do it. Trust me, I tried it. But you got to live an honest life, and you got to process your feelings. But still, at the end of the day, you've got to do the right thing. Now, I've got somebody waiting in the queue, two people, in fact, but I got to bring in the first guy first, who is my co-host, and I know he's been waiting, so let's let him in because he shouldn't be waiting at us. Should not our other guest. Let's get him in.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well,
Gentlemen, my co-host and navigator through full jugular, all points point to Willie.
Hey everybody, how are we all doing today? Hey, glad to hear your voice again. I had that interview just a little while ago with Turnbuckle Turmoil, or I guess you want to say the parent broadcast, but with Sign Guy and QT, and that was a heck of a lot of fun. Kind of miss you being on there.
Yeah, I cut my teeth. It used to be when you started with the network here, you had to go on that show first and join the cast. And that's what a lot of guys are like, JB Moonshine and I think Randy Zellers and a couple other people are like junior partners that go and do that right now. That's kind of what they do. And that's how you cut your teeth. And eventually, if you ever catch on, then you get your own show. Like me, like I was their first like junior associate and it like caught fire. So automatically they gave me a spinoff and that was called The Lounge. And The Lounge like blew up. And then I started helping this handicapped girl named Stevie Jonak, which was written about in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, become a manager and a radio host. And so we brought Stevie Jonak on, and then the thing hit the stratosphere, and then she did really well. She ended up working with a lot of ex-WWE talent, including, I can't remember his name, Zach something, the guy with the fake leg, Zach Gowen. She ended up managing Zach Gowen at Heroes at Wrestling, so Stevie did really well for herself, and so we gave Stevie her big push through my promotion and through the radio show, and so that was all part of, like, Turnbuckle Turmoil and the radio. Long history with the network here. So, but before we go too much further, let's let Miranda in, because I don't want to make her wait. Let me find a little ring song for Miranda, because Miranda's pretty cool. Let's, let me look through the archives here, because, all right, here we go.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are all happy days. These days are all yellow green. Goodbye, gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Seems so right, it can't be wrong. Rockin' and rollin' all week long.
Our guest at this time, the very knowledgeable, the very kind, and a very great person, Miranda Morales.
Hello, Ron, Willie. How are you guys doing?
I'm tipsy.
I'm glad some things never change, Ron. It's good to hear from you. And Willie, it's great to hear your voice too, you guys. I've missed you at times, and I'm so honored to be back on your show.
We wanted you back. You're our first repeater, the first repeat offender on Full Jugular.
Wow. That's a pretty big honor. Thank you.
Yeah, we won Turnbuckle Turmoil Show of the Year 2020.
Congratulations.
Number one rated show. All year round, every show, number one. Now, we just had Sunny, which I'm really weirded out because we had Sonny Ono on last week and our views went down, which is really weird to me because Sonny Ono tells everyone in this interview how to go to Japan, how they're holding an international competition and how to go to Japan. So I'm like, I just think it might have been a weird media week because with the presidential turnaround and all that and all that stress on the public, I think it was just missed in a huge media week. So I've shared that interview on my page, Miranda, for anyone who wants to listen to it. Sonny tells everybody about a big competition they're having called Road to Shinjuku. And that thing is going to get people to Japan as soon as COVID is over. So if I was an independent guy that wasn't signed in Japan already, I would totally be into it.
Wow, yeah, that's fantastic advice to get free, you know, on the on air, because Japan is an amazing opportunity for anyone in the independent scene. I mean, so many amazing options to train and to learn. And really, I mean, you really have to get out there in the world in order to grow as a wrestler. And Japan is one of those cornerstones that when you go, you learn so much.
Well, we talked about last week with Sonny Ono when he was on the show, as we confirmed that Japan is invitation only. Like, you can't buy your way in Japan. You can't book yourself in Japan. Japan is invitation only. If Japan wants you, they let you know. And that's what we did a whole big show on this last week, and it was, I loved how Sonny had his input, because now he is booking for a big Arab company as well as having a bunch of sway with pro wrestling Noah and other companies over there. I only know this because I started working with Sonny Ono on the merchandise end through the toy company. And that's how we talked about that. That's how I met Sonny, was just, you know, because I'm making some merchandise for him. And I actually made the first ever Sonny Ono Funko Pop. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I got to hand deliver it to him in Tucson, Arizona a couple of weeks ago. It was really cool. I got two things I learned. One is I got to, I don't know if you know where Rincon High School is, but that's where I went to high school. And
oh,
I got to
okay. Yeah.
Be two, I could actually see Rincon High School from where one of his family members lives. And Sonny and I were talking on the front porch, and I was like, Sonny, I went to high school, graduated right here. And he was like, no way. And I'm like, yes, Sonny, this is how Arizona I am, because they know me as a Von Hess, and they know me through Kevin Sullivan and through Japan. Like, they don't know me as like an – I'm only known as an Arizona guy to the people in Arizona that know me. Because people that have gotten to know that I'm a big Arizona guy, because that's, you know, that's where I grew up. That's where I got my start. But life is like more bizarre than fiction, I guess, because like I was just some normal guy that left here to take care of my kids. And then I fell into this whole pit of what was going to become, which someday I think is going to make a great movie, because like this stuff like this just doesn't happen. Like, I was born to be like just some quiet, like little guy that 5'8", not athletically gifted, very great at talking, but not good at a lot of other things. But I fell into this pit, and somehow when I came out, I was something completely different. Kind of reminds me of like DC with like the, what do they call the apocalypse demons? The, you know, the little demon guys, how they put them in the cocoon and then they come out as something else. That's kind of what happened to me in my career. Is I don't think if I would have stayed in Arizona, I would have been like a Hammerstone or anything like that. Because look at those guys, Hammerstone, and there's some guys from Arizona that are just on a level that is so above what anyone ever thought would come out of Arizona. Mm-hmm. For me to be the oldest guy that came from here, that got any note, not only am I honored, I feel like I don't even belong on the list. I feel like guys like Hammerstone have just killed it so much that you just got to, like, I'm friends with Hammerstone. I talk to him all the time offline. I think that he is just the future of the pro wrestling business and what he has done from our area. If you look at the pictures of him when he was the skinny little kid to where he is now, I mean, come on, you got to give it to him.
speaking about being a cut above the rest, let's get back to Miranda Morales over here, the queen of all wrestling media in the Southwest. Absolutely killing it, whether that's on the podcast, whether that's on the shows, whether that's anything else that's coming up with you lately. I've seen that you're doing a lot of reviews for the shows for like Impact, for WWE, for AEW. Your plate is constantly full. It's more than a plate. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet right now for Miranda Morales. If you look anywhere on media, she is there, and she is there. In
well, she's the queen of Arizona media. That's a given. She is the queen of Arizona media. Absolutely.
I love this
Miranda,
new tagline, though.
So
I love it. Thank you.
So,
but being so unassuming and being so great at your job, hats off to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, as both of you.
As I was saying, how does it feel to have that crown on now?
I mean, look, I got to admit, it feels kind of good. It feels good. And it's been a process as far as, you know, Ron mentions just work and taking the time and putting yourself out there. It definitely, it takes up, you know, chunks of my schedule and, you know, it's really made me evaluate what I want out of life, but it's also something I enjoy doing, and also getting to meet great people like you two. All of the websites I've worked for and things I've covered, it's because I've met great people that I've been able to then work and collaborate with, whether it's, you know, the Impact Reviews or Lucha Central or the Chairshot.com. You know, those are all things that came out of building relationships and partnerships with people. I just thank you to all of those sites that took a chance on me, because it means a lot. And I always just wanted to do not only those sites and those people proud, but yeah, Arizona proud. I mean, I'm a kid, like Lily, grew up in Yuma as a wrestling fan. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be covering wrestling events, being an announcer or an interviewer, doing the things I've done and announcing for the people I've done. And really done the same thing, you know. I mean, being able to talk about the people that we've announced or who he's done commentary for, like, it blows my mind of just being this kid in this little town watching wrestling at 10 years old and now as an adult being a part of it is something I never, ever expected.
Well, it's always said to expect the unexpected, and that definitely goes for you. Like you said, coming from Yuma, Arizona, a fairly small town over here in the desert Southwest, into what you've become now. But before you became that queen, before you came all the way up there in the media world, you were starting off at ring announcing. And I remember quite vividly you trying to get into other aspects other than just the ring announcing. And I told you, just go for it, because there was no way that you were going to fail. The only way that you were going to fail is if you intentionally sabotaged yourself, like fell down in your face or something like that. But there was no other way that that was going to happen. So now you've risen to this high podium, this very, very high position, to where you are a valuable commodity at this point, and you have different people vying to be able to get you on different shows and whatnot. And it's a known name now. Anytime you talk about the Desert Southwest and wrestling, and you're going to be talking about ring announcing, commentating, or if you're going to be talking about reviews, you're talking about Miranda Morales. And it's really wonderful to see how high you have risen in the short amount of time that you have, too.
Yeah, I actually just celebrated my 4-year anniversary, which for some people is a while, and for some people it's not. So, you know, time is relative, as they say. But for me, I think recently someone asked me about a quote I posted on social media and what it meant to me. And I think it was about, you know, it's not about the speed, but it's the direction that you go in. And so for me, that's what I've always tried to put in focus, because I think for me, it's always easy to try and compare myself to someone else, whether they may be better or going places faster or working more promotions or doing this or that. And at the end of the day, it really just has, the focus has to be on yourself, but also surrounding yourself with good people and people who encourage you, just like you did with me, Willie. I mean, countless times were you there by my side just saying, hey, go for it. Don't worry about it. Try it. You know, like giving me that feedback. And I think that's also really important. You know, you do that by growing, but surrounding yourself with people who challenge you and support you at the same time. Because you don't want people who are kind of yes men that say, oh, yeah, that's great, without giving you that feedback. But you want people who will cheer you on and say, go for it. You know, don't be afraid. And that's exactly what you've done in the entire time I've known you. And not only for me, but for so many people in this business. And Ron as well, very, very encouraging and supportive. So I think that helps as far as why I've been able to do as many things as I've been able to do. But, you know, it helps. And that's just important in any aspect of life, but in this business especially, because it's easy to feel worn down. You fail. There's moments where you do something and you suck at it. But you have to keep on going, because it's easy to say, fine, I give up. I'm not going to do it again. But you have to keep going in order to grow.
Very, very, very true. Another comment that came up a little while ago, I was doing an interview for, as I said, our parent broadcast, if you want to call it that. And one of the things that they brought to my attention was the common misconception of when ring announcers or commentators get thrown into the whole discussion of what is your promotion doing? Because people, for some reason, they see us, the ones commentating and the ones announcing, as the forefront or the voices of the company. And for some reason, that makes them believe that we have some kind of say-so or sway within that company with who gets hired, who gets fired, you know, where the shows are going or times or anything like that. I can say myself, it's been detrimental at times, but I would like to hear your experiences going through that yourself.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think I haven't necessarily gotten that, you know, hey, you know, do you know, or can you help me get booked or anything like that? But I've had more just people, you know, when they want to know, like, when they have complaints about the company, when they have complaints about, you know, seating arrangements, social media, events. I had one person in particular who, for a company I worked for, would always ask me, he couldn't go to the shows, but would always message me, what were the results of the show? And I'm thinking, you know, when I can, would provide what information I had, but I was always trying to push him back to the website and saying, why don't you just look at the website? Why don't you? I mean, like, I'm just a ring announcer, but I think you're right. There is this conception of that you are the face and sometimes the voice of that promotion. So there is this thought that you have more of a bigger role in there, or you know, have a line to the bosses. And really, we're all there to do our job and sometimes have the least amount of influence, because when you think about who has more influence and say, it's the actual wrestlers. You know, not to say that we're at the bottom of the totem pole, but most of the time, there's way, way more people above me or you that, you know, have more say or input about what's going on. And those are usually people in the ring. So that's who you know, people should be talking to first before you go to a ring announcer or commentator.
Yes. And another thing that I wanted to bring up, now with your voice, as you say, being the voice of certain promotions, you being the voice of several groups and several promotions and several broadcasts, if you want to put it that way, it's a very tight rope that you have to walk. As far as what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say, particularly when it comes to stuff within the media. You have to be careful about if you're going to sway things one direction or another. And I myself have had to deal with this, because you don't want to comment on certain things just for the pure and simple fact that it may sway one person one way or another regarding, you know, the company and what you think versus, you know, just actually doing your work. Have you experienced that yet, to where you have to stay away from certain topics? And what topics is it that you try to stay away from?
That's a really, really good question. That's more of a personal rule that I have. I think I've learned, I think just being like, you know, an adult and just having to be an adult and being in the working world, that you have to always address situations with a sense of tactfulness and professionalism. And, you know, some people or some fans may have, you know, may not like a promotion or like a wrestler. And when you get associated with a promotion or a wrestler or whatever part of the business, you know, it can always be a tightrope that you're balancing, because I think, especially people like me and you, we're all, you know, we're pretty open-minded and we're fair. And we give people the benefit of the doubt until something happens and, you know, you give us a reason right. not to trust you. And that's really my philosophy, is I trust people and I trust promotions until they give me a reason not to. And so as long
I
as
am
that...
Not, hey, so, I am not open-minded and fair, though, Miranda, because I'm a veteran who's been around 20-some-plus years.
You've been around so long. And like I said, I've only been around for 4 years, and you've been around the world, too, Ron.
25.
So
I've been around the world for 25. But guys, here, can I interject something here?
Yeah.
I want to say something.
Absolutely.
This means a lot to me here. About taking chances and speaking out. There's a big story I wanted to break on the show with you guys here today, and this is big news, and I want Miranda to report on it. I want to report here first so you know. Super Beast, the World Underground Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion, which you guys know I'm a big World Underground guy.
I've worked with him.
He is on Beast Barnett's Bloodsport for the upcoming big supercard on pay-per-view. They added Super Beast as one of the fighters in one of the big matches. He'll be walking out, and you'll see he'll have the World Underground Wrestling World title with him, the one that I lost to him. I had a choice before I went on this last Japan tour. They told me, we'll leave it up to you. Because I scouted the kid, and I told him, I think this guy is great, and I think he'd be a great champion for the company. They called me the next day. Little did I know, as world champion, they were going to call me the next day and go, well, will you drop the belt to him? Now, I was scheduled for a big belt drop in Japan, which was, you know, a big deal for me to fight in the main event over there and come in as the world heavyweight champion and lose the belt, you know, against Riki Fuji or whoever they wanted me to fight. Well, they asked me to do this 2 weeks before the tour. And because I'm a company guy, I did it because I believe in Chris Crotty. I believe in Super Beast, and I believed in his star power. Now, him and I both got paid trips to the Philippines right after this, so it definitely was worth my while because they gave me the world tag title in Japan. So I got to tour with Chris to the Philippines and get everything paid for, which was great. And that was all based on Chris's star power, not mine. And we did a super great job, which got me the commentating job with the Philippines over there, which is super great.
Mm-hmm.
And the tour was incredible. And working with Chris was a great experience. So me helping Chris along and me taking that risk has led to, and I'm not going to say that I'm responsible for Chris getting on Bloodsport or anything like that. That's all Chris's hard work. But I'm happy that I'm one of the people that didn't stand in Chris's way. Every time someone tried to open a door for Chris around me, I helped open it. They were like, hey, do you think he can come with you to the Philippines? I'm like, hell yeah, here's his info. I'll hook him up. Boom, we made 2 phone calls. Chris was on the tour. Same thing with Japan. They were like, hey, can you bring Chris to Japan? I'm like, Chris, you want to go to Japan? He's not an idiot. He's like, of course I want to go to Japan. Little did he know, 2 weeks later, he would be going to Japan as the World Heavyweight Champion. And successfully defending, and is still the World Underground Heavyweight Champion, and probably going to be the most dominating champion the company's ever had. That's what it looks like, because he's defended it in Mexico and all over the place. So I had a choice to take a risk and say, hey, yes, this guy's great, or else I could have been a selfish old bet like a lot of guys are accused of and stood in this kid's way. But I knew at 52 years old, like I was told you many times backstage, Miranda and you, Willie, that I knew my time's fading. So at 52, with everything I've done, I think it would be a disrespect and a disservice to not help push your guy forward. So I want to congratulate with you guys here, Chris Crotty, the Super Beast, on all his success, and I hope he kills it on pay-per-view, and I hope he represents World Underground really well. So thank you, Chris. I hope you're listening. I know you listen to the show. Much respect. I love touring with this guy, you guys. He's a great guy. Like, every place we go overseas, the little kids, like in the Rocky movies, they just follow this guy. He literally is like a literal real-life Hulk Hogan. What Hulk Hogan is supposed to be with all the blow-ups and all that, Super Beast is that in real life. So my point is, you take chances, and then you see people grow. And today when they announced the Bloodsport thing, I couldn't have been prouder to have took that risk and helped this guy along. So when I heard you guys talking about, you know, stepping out and taking risks, here's an example where last year I took this huge risk, but look how it paid off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, risk and reward. You kind of have to do a balance with that thing. And, you know, if the individual that you're looking at, you know, if you truly, truly believe in them, it's not a question about whether taking the risk or not. It's just how much you're going to be standing behind him. You know, yeah. That's all it really is. And mm-hmm. I think, and this goes back to what I was going to say earlier with Miranda, because you were thanking me for that, but I think I've said it to you before, but I want to make sure that I made it clear. I didn't do anything other than just reaffirm what you already knew in your mind. In other words, I wasn't the force that made this happen or anything like that. That was all you. All I did was just reaffirm what you already knew. You knew that you would be able to do it. You were nervous about it, but you knew that you were going to be able to do it. You just had to have somebody else tell you, yeah, you are doing this right. So...
Yeah,
I think that's
no.
what it is. I can't take any credit whatsoever. My whole thing is that...
you should take some credit, even just a little bit. But, you know, that's the beauty of this business, you know, as sometimes complicated it can be. And even just talking about the previous question right now about, you know, promotions and kind of walking that fine line. I mean, at
right.
the end of the day, it's all about... To me, it feels like it's about helping each other out, and this is a tradition in its most purest form, and it gets passed down from generation to generation and from person to person. And even the example that Ron talked about right now with Chris, you know, that was him passing on his knowledge and title to the next generation, in which then that will be passed down. And I think that is when you see that, I mean, that makes it all worth it. And that gives, you know, hope for the next people in line. And it's all about sharing and supporting each other, you know. And it looks different in different roles and for different people. But, I mean, that's really at the core and heart of wrestling, is a tradition that's passed down.
Right. And as we were going back to our previous question that I was asking, you were kind of getting around to it, but Ron had some really good stuff that he wanted to interject at the moment.
Yeah, really good points.
But about the things that you try to avoid, can you give any examples of things that you avoid?
Well, like, what do you mean? Like, avoid in, like, working for promotion, or just avoid talking about?
Avoid talking about in particular?
Yeah. I mean, I think that... Going back to promotions, I mean, I was talking about, you know, if a promotion, you know, as long as they don't do me wrong. But I also think it is important that it's also recognizing the way that they treat everybody, you know, because a promotion that treats everyone with respect and dignity is highly, highly important to me. And that is something that really appeals to me. So it isn't just about me. It's how they treat, you know, of course, the wrestlers, but the ring crew and the referees and that entire and the fans and the crowd, all of that, you know, because that just continues to just emanate not only professionalism but a love of pro wrestling when that happens. So that's very important to me. I mean, as far as things, I really try, when I have a strong opinion about something, about things that I like and don't like, I will be very adamant about that, especially if I see something that I don't believe is right, if someone isn't treated fairly or treated well with respect. But, you know, I would say that anything I do, even, you know, if it's honest, I do it in a way that isn't just ranting and raving. I try and have some reasoning behind it and be professional about it, because for me, you don't ever get anywhere when you kind of rant and rave about something that you see. It's presenting like, this is my opinion and this is why it's important to me. And, you know, why I think it could be important for other people. But I just kind of, I don't know if there's been a topic I haven't avoided. Maybe I just haven't been asked about it or just hasn't come up. But I would say that anytime I do try to address something, I just try and do it with professionalism. I just try and state my opinion and my reasons and why I think it's valid and why it's important to the wrestling community or to people in our roles or for, you know, people in my state or for women, whatever it is. And, you know, I just try and do it straightforward, but I also try not to scream and yell, because for, yeah, some people that could be entertaining, but then you're just known as that person who just screams and yells and you lose the message. It's important that, you know, you have a message, you speak about it in a way that, you know, you can articulate. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I just, to be honest, I don't think I've ever been asked something that I haven't, you know, not wanted to or haven't talked about.
Right.
Well, Miranda, I have something I'd like to ask. Hey, so I can interject real quick. Today, our media team here at Full Jugular, we released a new episode of Exit 183 to Violence. And I would like you to go ahead and review that, Miranda. And it's got a match from Azuka from the WWE that's never been seen anywhere before.
Oh, wow. Yeah, send it to
recently
me.
Recently unearthed
it.
From the archive. Oh, it's on my page. It was released
on your page,
this
okay,
morning
perfect.
At about, because I got it. Funny story. I was talking to my friends that are luchadors in Mexico on a live feed this weekend, and they always call me Puto over there. That, like, we always joke around because we toured together. So I said Puto back, and fucking Facebook banned me for 4 days. They locked
four
me
days.
Out of my page, right? 4 fucking days. I couldn't believe it. So, I mean, so I had my girl Terry was here visiting from Washington, so I really wasn't that bummed out because I had a plenty to do. But it was definitely pretty funny. But anyways, we released the episode late last night because we were finally able to release it because it was ready to go. And this is an Azuka match that was from like one of her biggest matches from her career that has never been seen anywhere. Okay. Executive producer of the show, like we said last week, is Sonny Ono, you know, from WCW. Mm-hmm. He's working with me and executive producing the show. We released it last night at like 4 a.m. It's already got picked up in the Philippines and in Japan and in England and a couple other places because it's already got picked up because people love it. But I want you to review it. It's a whole first anniversary show ever from World Underground that's never been seen before. So at Exit 183 to Violence, they sent me 60 DVDs plus all their new live stuff. And all of that is being released now. And I'm proud to tell everybody here today that it looks like we're going on Fight TV.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. That's huge.
So, yeah, that's why I'm celebrating. Before we came in the queue, I'd had a few cocktails because I got the phone call from Sonny Ono that it looks like we're going on Fight TV. So I want Miranda to go review it. I want you to go check it out, Willie. I'm definitely looking for a co-commentator for the show because I definitely do better with having a co-host. Right now I've been hosting the show by myself for the first 3 or 4 episodes, but long-term we're looking for a host or two. I know a couple of people that I really like. So I was hoping that they might go and review the show and there might be room that we could work together while I'm here in town and we could put out some commentary for some Japanese DVDs that have never been seen before. And this, can I tell you that the Suzuka thing is just the start. And it's her versus her trainer. Never been seen before anywhere.
Very, very nice. And talk about,
I have a suitcase full of that stuff sitting in my room here, guys. And I'm sitting in Arizona doing nothing. So, my friends, if Fight TV comes a-calling, I need a broadcast team. And I'm talking to the two people that I would like involved besides producer Anthony Nelson, who I've already locked in.
That's amazing. That's awesome there,
yes.
Ron. And speaking of celebrations, another thing that you can do to celebrate over here is with our sponsor, Kitsap Cannabis. That's right, Kitsap Cannabis, located in Washington. Two locations, simply the best bud tenders ready to serve you.
Thanks for giving my wife free pot. All right, cool. So thanks, guys. So anyways, good news today, as everybody saw on my page, that, you know, Terry and I have been back together for a while, but we've been keeping it quiet because she doesn't really like all the media stuff. But I was given permission to let everyone know that Hess Ulmer, she gets first billing. Ulmer Hess is back together, so I am no longer technically married, braided. I'm just married.
Congratulations.
Okay. That's awesome, man.
Oh, she just spent a week here. Thanks, guys. She just spent a week here where we went to Reed Park Zoo and we went to bookstores and we did all the stuff that we like to do together. And another big announcement tonight, because I wanted you two guys here, is not only do I want to work on this show with you guys, is that once COVID is over, 1 year from the end of COVID, my career ends as well. I'm going to be done professional wrestling. I'm not going to wrestle. I'm going to give it 1 year. I've got to finish my contract in Japan, and I've been lucky that I started in Arizona, and I did some great things in Mexico and Japan and in the Philippines, and I made history. I was in the first ever big shoe fight in the Philippines in the chains, and first American to win the world title from Japan. I mean, I've done plenty of stuff. I'm the first ever Triple Crown winner in that company, worldwide heavyweight, world heavyweight, and world tag team. To a lot of guys who are on TV, maybe it wouldn't mean a lot, but to me, when they gave me the ring in Japan, because they give you a ring when you win the belts over there, when you get that championship ring, the actual like ring that goes on your finger, means a lot. And these are like, I knew I would never be a big star, but I've helped make a lot of big stars. So my career has been complete. I've helped inspire a lot of people. And I see where people, like I said, Hammerstone and some other people are going to like really take Arizona to the next level. And I'm going to encourage and always be around to help, you know, fan those flames like you do, Miranda, like you do, Willie. We've got to grow Arizona into respectability, because Arizona does have some good stuff. Arizona was known forever as being behind and not having wrestlers that could work. But now, if you look, we have got so many companies out here that are incredible and so much going on, leading to what I'm saying now. Since I only have a year left, while I'm still here in Arizona, as soon as we can do shows, I've been talking to my partners, we're going to be doing shows, which you guys will be involved in. You guys are my announce team. So World Underground Wrestling Japan-United States will be running soon. As soon as we can run a show in Tucson, we have a building, we have a ring. I've got two different companies that I can't announce right now that are good. Well, actually, I can. Actus League and Revolt Wrestling both want to work with us. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be doing joint shows with other companies.
Yeah, I was going to say,
well, these guys are
both very familiar.
And they're very cool people. So
yes,
we're going to be working with these guys. And you guys know Tyrone Cabrone has always been my partner in Arizona whenever I do shows or anything there. Tyrone's my buddy. So it'll be me and Tyrone. And I, here's the thing is, what people don't understand is I actually have the money to put on good shows. So we will put on some good shows when this is all over before I leave, because I want to make sure that my last match in Arizona means something.
Yeah.
And see, that doesn't mean Ron Von Hess goes out and takes a young, good, great piece of talent and just makes him look like trash and beats. That's not what wrestling is. We're talking about, I want to put on a show that for years and years and years, people see it on tape and go, wow, this is incredible. So when I'm done at the end of the show and I take my boots off and I leave them in the middle of the ring, we can all walk away proud.
Well, not all of us can walk away proud. Most of us can.
Well, it's guys like you guys, though, that do the announcing and the commentating that helped me realize I still had something to contribute beyond
the
ring.
Absolutely.
And that's what I want to thank you guys for is, for, do you know what the big hardest question is once you're struggling during your career and through everything, the hardest thing to ask yourself is, how can I walk away from this? This is all I have. But guys like you have shown me and my opportunities with these DVDs, with Japan sending them to me and then trusting me and me getting hired. You know, the Philippines, I don't know if you guys saw, but World Underground Wrestling Philippines is doing a big pay-per-view inside their building they're taping, and I just got hired to do all the American commentary over that as well. So it has opened up so much for me that I'm so grateful. I want to thank you guys for that because I never knew what was going to be the next thing for me. At my age, I did not know how to walk away, and that cost me my marriage.
This business is all about sharing and that legacy, and it will look different for everyone, but you can still do that in a different way, you know. And I feel like this transition for you into more of that commentary and hosting role is still that way that you contribute and that you share that knowledge and you pass it down. It just, you know, in a different way. So I'm sure for Willie as well, we appreciate that you're still sharing and you're still giving opportunities to people. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do anything for any of us, but you do. And that means a lot.
And Ron, I got to say something. Like you said, we're family. You're my friend. Ron, I got to be real with you because it's been hitting me for the last couple of episodes and I'm sure other people have noticed it. So I just got to ask you, friend to friend, man to man, do you need a step stool?
No, why?
Because you've been riding Hammerstone's dick for a while now, man. Like every couple of episodes that we have, you're talking about Hammerstone. I just was wondering if you needed some help to get up off of there. I mean, like, what is going on? I know that you like the guy, but it is a constant thing with you, Ron.
Because, do you want me to be straight about it? Because I thought when the annals ended, I'd be the one guy from Arizona that did everything of note. I thought my crown was pretty safe. And then this kid came out, and I saw where he came from just like I did. He was skinny little nothing, and he came up from nothing. And I look at what he did, and I got to bow down to the kid. He's done great. And here's the thing is you can't be great if you don't tell the other greats that they're great. That's
correct.
What makes the difference between heroes and suckers is I'm willing to tell him, hey, man, as much as I've done and as many trails as I blazed, you're the future. And it's hard for vets to do that. We have a bad rep right now in the industry, like you saw when a lot of stuff came out recently before COVID. The ugliest situation was all these vets that had took advantage of all these young people. Not me. I might have done some things that I regretted when I was first starting to train and didn't know any better. But from the minute I started, got great training and knew better, every person that has worked with me has not only prospered, but has moved ahead. And I'm proud of that. That's what we're supposed to do. I always had great intentions. I just didn't always have great access to everything I needed to be able to do that. Yeah. And that's where I learned the difference is Kevin Sullivan and the Puerto Ricans and other people tapped me into great opportunities. But no, Hammerstone, give him his credit. Look, this guy, they're pushing him for the MLW Heavyweight Championship right now. This guy is the future, and he's going to make everyone in Arizona that ever put on a pair of trunks look good if he makes it. And that's what guys don't understand. You should be cheering for Hammerstone and want him to make it. We should all want him. And if you think, and here's the thing, I have never met him. I am sure he is a complete asshole and asshat outside the ring. Now, you guys don't have to say it, because I can say it, because I'm the world's most, you know, watch of this new shock jock. So I'll say it. He's probably a complete asshat. And I've seen him be an asshat, but I will honestly tell you, he's never been anything but nice to me. He's always shown me the station of the respect that I've earned.
He's always been very respectful and, you know, very smart. And just my interactions have been always very professional and top notch. But I agree with you as far as wanting to cheer for the success of others in our area, because it only helps elevate more talent. And his success will eventually be the success of Arizona's and the future. You know, just like why there's meccas of people in Florida, in Chicago, in Texas, in New Jersey, you know, in California. Arizona's not seen as one of those, but sometimes it just takes one person to have a, you know, a great career that gets more eyes out here. And then that helps more.
Do you guys realize that I was trained by the guys who are the legends of Arizona, like the Black Mambas and the Arizona Lumberjacks and all the guys that were the big pro wrestlers of the 70s and 60s here? That's who trained me. That Steve Vega, who was a WWE member on Wrestling Superstars, the guy that Ultimate Warrior pressed and he dropped him on the concrete. And it was on Wrestling Superstars for years and years and years. At the end of the show, while Warrior was on, you'd see Warrior press the guy and then drop him right on the concrete. That was my trainer. He lives right here in Phoenix. His name is Steve Vega. These are the guys that trained me. And they taught me the right way about how to be old school, and how to be tough, but still to show the love. And I feel like at my station, at my age, where, like, I'll be honest, if my daughter hadn't died the way she did, you know, my oldest daughter, I never would have pushed as far as I did. I never would have made it to Japan. I never would have done anything. But also, if I didn't have Terry by my side, my wife, who just helped me through everything, I never would have made it. So I've always given her 100. Like when Japan told me I was going to win their World Heavyweight Championship in Washington, when I won it, I was separated from my wife, and I'll never forget, they tried to hand me the belt, but I had surprised her. Instead, I had a slow dance ready because she said we never danced, and instead her and I danced in the middle of the ring instead of me grabbing the belt. And the fans just, people told me that hated me, people that despised me told me it made them cry. They go, damn you, Ron, I cried my eyes out. Because it was real. Because that's what I brought to my career with people, is real. It's like Shane Taylor. He's a huge star now. I brought him in, and him and I had a big feud. It's Jeff Cobb, same thing. I brought in so many guys to my company in Washington right before their career blew up, and now I'm personal friends. My couch in Washington at my daughter's house is called the Jeff Cobb couch, because Jeff slept on it so many times. Okay? Yeah. So this is the life I live. The bedroom is called the Tokyo Kahegas pass-out room, because my wife made pot brownies so many times that Kahegas passed out like 10 times in that room, and I had to carry him in there. So, and the toughest guy's in wrestling, but I helped carry him in there. So, and him and I are in that famous, you know, of course, that famous match together where he completely kicks the shit out of me. But these are what makes people hang around. I never wanted to make Arizona look bad, so once I became in the light where, like, people were like, well, you've done some stuff people notice, now you can't be an asshole, I started really taking that seriously. And that's why you guys are both nice people that I saw were doing things, and that's why I've encouraged you. because that's my job. And I realize at this station, my job is to help people like you guys move on to the next level. Now, Miranda, what I want to tell you is you cannot quit. You are so close. You will end up on something. Impact, AEW, you are so close. I remember working for this scuzzy company called 321 Battle in Seattle, and they got a girl referee who's the head referee at AEW right now. They got her in the business. Okay? And I was right there when it all happened. I quit that company at their apex because I knew something was going on, and I'm not going to talk about all the shit that happened there after I left, but I knew some shit was going on there, so I left because I'm one of those smart veterans that goes, my career doesn't need this. So I left. You're so close. You keep your nose to the grindstone. Don't get involved in any controversy and continue to be who you are, and you're going to make it. You'll be interviewing on Impact. You'll be doing something. Just keep doing what you're doing at the intensity you're doing now and even maybe 100% more. You're almost there.
Thank you. That's going to make me cry. Because it means a lot. No, it just means a lot, that confirmation and just that push of just keep on going, you know, because we all know some days you get lost, some days you feel unsure, and some days you're on fire. And so, you know, it's all hit and miss. And that is.
Well, you're like a big race car driver right now, Miranda. You're driving the world's fastest wrestling car. You got to figure that way. You're going to hit the wall some days. But you're going to have to be like Gattaca Patrick and take your long, beautiful hair and swish it out and smile for the cameras and jump back in that car and go right back to the race. And I know you can do that. You're tough like that.
Let's take about 10% of that. But anyway, going forward, once again, we cannot thank you enough. As he was saying, a repeat customer over here at Full Jugular really means a lot to us, you know. And we always are, Ron always tries to do this, and I always try to follow suit along with what Ron's doing as far as, you know, standard operating procedure for the show and whatnot. But he likes to give everybody an opportunity to talk about what it is that they're doing right now, anything that's relatively close upcoming or anything like that. Can you tell us of any projects that you have coming up right now that we need to have our eyes on?
Yeah, so I still continue to podcast every week for thechairshot.com and luchacentral.com. I have shows that drop on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays between the two websites. So go check out my podcast, the Hashtag Miranda Show, the Babyface Heel podcast. They're both on thechairshot.com. And then the Lucha Central weekly podcast that is on luchacentral.com. As far as some upcoming shows, I'm going to be announcing for Arizona Wrestling Federation on Saturday, February 13th for Dire Consequence. And then Impact Zone Wrestling, IZW, we have a show on Saturday, February 27th, Monster 2021, and I'm going to be your ringside correspondent doing all the interviews that the fans need to know about. So that is just the month of February. I'm sure other things will be coming up. So you can follow me on social media at @TheHashtagMiranda on Instagram and Facebook. There you can find out where I'm going to be announcing next, and also links to the podcasts that I mentioned at luchacentral.com and thechairshot.com.
See, if you didn't believe me before, everybody, you got to believe me now. An absolute stacked plate here with Miranda Morales. So many different things going on. One of the things that I did want to touch on, though, it's kind of a bit of a personal endeavor or a personal issue that I think me and you are both kind of going through at the moment. Mutual acquaintance, Greg DeMarco.
Yeah.
And he was one of your starting points as far as doing the podcast and everything. And he was one of the people that broke you into that whole aspect of it. And to me, he's one of the people I've never met in person, but I've talked to online quite a bit. And that's why when I heard the recent news, it really kind of ripped me apart. Because, you know, here you got this really good guy, you know, and now we find out that he's going through cancer. The exact same thing, actually, that Roman Reigns had gone through is now exactly what he's going through right now. And I just want to see what your reaction was when you found out about this. And, you know, have you talked to him about his schedule with the podcasting and everything? And do you, how do you think he's going to be taking it in the future with all this going on?
Yeah, absolutely right. Greg is one of the people I talk to the most, not only in the podcasting world, but he's one of my best friends. He did give me my first opportunity in podcasting, which grew into so many other things. The same thing with Impact Zone Wrestling, which he's a booker for. So not only does he work on podcasting, he also helps run a promotion. So he is still a very busy, busy man. I remember when he told me, and I think my first reaction was, okay, so what do you do next, you know? And it wasn't necessarily kind of avoiding the subject, but Greg has built up this resiliency with his fitness journey over the past year. He's down 80 pounds, and this was just something that he was doing way before he found out about his chronic myeloid leukemia diagnosis. He changed his life around, and through that, I saw a resiliency and persistence and strength in Greg that inspires me all the time. And so when this happened, the first thing I just thought is, nothing can stop Greg DeMarco. Nothing can stop Greg DeMarco, because I feel like nothing can. He just has kept on going, and he's kept on his regular schedule with CrossFit, and that's, you know, really big to him. So he stays active. He stays active with his family. You know, he stays active as producer for podcasts and now for IZW. So overall, he's continuing to do very well. I know he just started some medication to help treat the chronic myeloid leukemia just this week. So far, no side effects, and that he's, you know, continuing to work strong. But, I mean, to be honest, I don't think there's a change with his schedule. I mean, I think he is going on just as he did before, which, I mean, in some ways surprises me, in some ways doesn't. Because knowing Greg, I mean, he, again, is really resilient and persistent and driven. And, you know, when he does things that he loves, like CrossFit and wrestling, I mean, those are all things that, you know, you can't take away from him. And our releases and outlets for him, and I'm really happy he has those. And I know he's still taking time to work with his family, and they fully support him. But I think it's funny because he was saying how one of his other best friends, Patrick O'Dowd, reacted. And apparently Patrick and his wife had got, you know, the same reaction of, okay, what do we need to do? You know, how are we getting through this? And I think my reaction, he said, was more like his is, okay, what's next? You know, like just almost like, you know, okay, like he can do this. He can take this on, and he's going to be okay. And it's not, I was telling him, I hope my reaction doesn't mean or show him that I wasn't, you know, scared or nervous, because deep down I was. I didn't tell him that because I didn't think it would have been helpful at the moment. But at the same time, I just know him enough to know that he wasn't going to let this stop him and his routine, especially working out. He gets so pissed when he misses a workout session. Like, I have not seen him miss a workout, I think only like twice in like the past 4 to 5 months, or even longer too. And so as long as it doesn't interrupt his workout schedule, you're going to see him keep doing the same things he's always been doing. And I just, that's what I admire and love the most about him, you know, and it inspires me all the time to just keep on going. When life gives you some, you know, shit hands, you just keep on going and you keep on moving. So luckily he's doing well health-wise. He's undergoing treatment. He's staying active, and he's still in the wrestling game. Nothing can stop Greg DeMarco.
An absolute juggernaut. Hey, Greg, if you're listening in here today, which you probably are, you know, hey, we all love you, we all support you, and we all wish for nothing but the speediest of recoveries, and just keep going forward, man. And we're all behind you, no matter what. And like you were saying, it is really all about, even if you're given a shit hand, you got to keep playing it. And I think that that was basically what the monologue today that Ron von Hess gave us was all about. Sometimes you're going to be given a shit hand in life, and you have to be able to just keep going with it. You know, even if you start back at square one is better than giving up on the game. You know, you got to just keep pushing forward. And it
well,
is very,
I think we decide who the toughest one is real quick. It comes down to this. Who's going to tap out and who's going to fight?
And
there's people that tap out right away, and there's people that fight. Some people will continue to fight even when the guy starts twisting the ankle, and they'll keep fighting. They don't tap. Those are the guys that make it. Those are guys like me. Okay? Like, he can get through this. I'm telling you, life throws you so much messed up stuff, dude. How many people take their kids to Disneyland and show up and have a dead daughter there? This stuff happens, okay? And you have to be strong, because if not, it eats you alive and takes everything from you. And he'll survive because he's got great support and he's a fighter and he's got a great regimen and routine. So having people like Miranda supporting him is going to make all the difference in the world, and everybody else reach out, support him. Make sure you do, because this is what keeps people going. It takes so little to just go, hey, like, that's all it really takes. And that much support, you would have no idea what it means to people.
Very much so. And Ron, I hate to kind of cut a little bit short on my end, but I do have to get going because I have to charge my therapy for my spine. So sorry about that. But I stayed in.
No, are you leaving right? You're leaving right. Are you leaving right this second?
Here in a little bit, if you need me to. But I've literally been hanging out here, even though it started beeping at me 15 minutes ago. But I was like, no,
okay,
I can
real quick, hey Willie, because Miranda, because he does this. I got to play this because he always does this. He always soldiers out with quits. For Willie on the Full Juggler Show.
Look at what's happened to me. I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so deep.
I'm just kidding, Willie. Hey, Willie, you know I love you, man. I always got to rib you a little bit. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And Miranda, it's
this
been...
This is why this show is so much fun, is people don't get it that this show is real.
Yes, yeah. Well,
this show is real
on
so many levels.
Both having me on tonight, it's been great, and it's been so awesome to catch up with you both. I really appreciate it, and you know, always stay in touch. You guys are fantastic. Congratulations on the success of the show, and I can't wait to see what you guys do this year as well.
Miranda, real quick, I sent you to your page a copy of the new episode with Azuka, the never-before-seen thing. I sent it to your page.
Yes, perfect. I will watch it and give you your review.
Watch it,
right,
review it, share it. Watch it, review it, share it. Get it out there. People need to see this match from Azuka. It was like, here's my thing real quick. When I'm going through the archives, and because they gave me this great responsibility of sending this entire archive of footage to me, it was like I couldn't believe when I found this. It was stunning, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Are you still there, Miranda? Yeah, I was stunned when I found Azuka's match. I was just stunned. You know what I mean? Like, How do you find a match of a WWE former women's world champion and tag champion? How often do you find a match of hers that no one has seen?
No, I haven't.
Pretty, I mean, it's not something you see every day,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So am
no,
I correct in thinking that this is like digging up gold? And so
yeah.
You'll get to see it. You get to see it. I send it to you. All I can tell you is my jaw was on the floor when I found it. And after you watch it, you'll see why it's her versus a man. I think it's her trainer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's her
that
versus
was,
her trainer,
awesome.
Woman versus man. And it's in a strong style ring in the, you know, with the chains. And she takes some bumps that I'm just like I bump in that same ring all the time. And I'm like, wow. No wonder she became world champion at WWE. I mean,
yeah.
This match she puts on is pretty, I think is pretty incredible. So anyways, let me know what you think. And thank you so much for coming in. I guess Willie's charge ran out and he had to go. I want to thank you for coming on. You're
thank
always
you.
A great guest. Yeah, you're always a great guest, Miranda. You're so well-spoken. And once I start running my shows down there, I'm going to be in touch because I want you there. Because I want top-notch shows. And I believe in helping people like you and Willie, who I really believe in. So, and I can't be everywhere at once. And I can tell you that once I start running my shows, we'll be bringing guys in from Japan and stuff. It's going to be pretty kick-ass. So, and even if we have to bring you up to announce at a show in Washington, that's what we'll do. So, because, you know, I run a company there, too. But you definitely deserve whatever you're going to get in any way I can help. I hope I can. So... And I want to thank you just once again for calling in and always just being a part of a big positive in pro wrestling, which Willie and I fully support. And don't forget that night when it was you, me, and Willie and Aaron, and he was sick, and I thought, these are all good people. And here we are a year later, and not only do I feel that strongly now, I feel it more stronger than ever. So thank you for being a two-time guest, our first ever two-time guest. And I hope to have you on again, and you could be our first ever three-time guest.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you
so
much, Ron, and I appreciate it.
No, we love having you on, Miranda. Like I said, I love someone that can out-talk me and that really has something great to say, and you can do that. Willie, I told you in such high regard that I was kept on, I know I was to be on my best behavior tonight with you on the show.
Because
Willie has
it.
So much love for you.
Yeah,
well, you're the queen
too.
Of Arizona
yeah.
wrestling, and we love you. So thank you for calling in. Keep doing what you're doing. You're so close. I'm going to keep monitoring your career with zeal. And I hope that you do it. Watch my show because it's the last
yeah.
one before Fight TV. We won't be releasing any other public media, I don't think, with Exit 183 and because we're going on Fight TV. It looks like with Sonny Ono, it's the executive producer. Please watch my show and review it because I think your opinion matters.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Ron. I will do that and get back to you.
Yeah, please do. Even publicly, I want you to publicly review
yeah.
it because, like, I want
yeah.
to put it out there for people like you that are passionate about the business. If you believe in the product of what's there, please give your honest opinion. So that's what full jugular is all about. Like, you can't be half jugular if you're full
yeah.
jugular. You know what I mean? It's either
yes.
full or nothing. So thank
yeah.
you so much. And Willie, I know you had to plug out. Thank you so much. Miranda Morales, one last time, Miranda, where can we catch you? Where are we going to see you next week? Where are you the rest of this week? Where can we see you?
Yes, I'll be at Arizona Wrestling Federation on Saturday the 13th for Dire Consequence and Impact Zone Wrestling on Saturday, February 27th. You can catch me on luchacentral.com on Fridays and thechairshot.com on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And, of course, my social media is at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook.
And if you don't support that, you suck because Miranda's awesome. So make sure you do that. Okay?
Thank
this
you,
is Ron the Vet. Ron the Vet who's been all over the world, England, Japan, Mexico, you name it. I'm telling you, Miranda is the real deal. Make sure you check her stuff out and do what you got to do. We'll see you next time. on Full Jugular. Sorry, we're trying to find the right song here to end the show with. Let's see what we're going to end with this week. Let's end with, we'll go ahead with this. We'll see you next week, guys.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man. Behind blue eyes, and no one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, the arms are empty as my car. Blame you. No one bites back his heart on their anger. None of my pain will can show through. But my dreams, they are as empty as my car. Love and vengeance.